Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill the hearts of your faithful. Kindle in us the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and we shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. Amen. Good morning. There was a time when death was only known as the loss of all things, a darkness without an end, but not anymore. There was a time when those who insulted God or failed God could be punished, even in public, but not now, at least not in this country. There was a time when the dry bones of an expired life meant nothing more than dry bones. But that time is past. The time is past when these endings that we call death or loss or failure really are the end. And you and I know that time is gone because we have this day. This day of Pentecost. Pentecost is the day that explains to us the reason why we can believe, the reason why we can seek understanding, even can choose to follow the living God who has called us by name. Pentecost literally means 50. And represents the 50th day of Easter. It also represents the Sunday after Jesus, who died and rose again, now has ascended bodily into heaven. That was Thursday. But most importantly, Pentecost represents the day that you and I were given the gift of owning our own relationship with God. Owning our own relationship with God. No longer would that relationship with the divine be mediated by a priest or a rabbi or a church or temple. No longer would we depend upon an external power or institution or other relationship to actually define and determine our own understanding of God. On this day, the Holy Spirit came down in small flames of fire that could be seen and could be heard as if the wind was blowing strongly through the house. The Holy Spirit became present this day to light upon each and every one of the followers of Jesus. And now, in our time, to remind us that we too are given this Spirit to empower us as free, thinking, and knowing, faithful people who can trust this personal relationship with God who created us, who can trust this relationship with Jesus, who redeemed us, and who can trust this relationship with the Holy Spirit, who leads us into all truth. Whatever we do, wherever we go, we can trust that this relationship will be available today and always. Even as I sense my own excitement and wonder at this gift that God has given us, the gift of God within, I also sense what sometimes can be a loneliness in the blessed journey of faith. The gift of the Holy Spirit is given to all, giving us the ability to interpret, to define, to understand God, or to perceive God from a perspective that is unique, our very own. And of course, it will always be accompanied by whatever limitations come with our humanity. The Holy Spirit in our lives can bring us much joy and peace. And even with the Holy Spirit at hand, as it were, We can also experience struggle and sometimes isolation when we are unable to make spiritual connections with others, perhaps unable to share our faith or whatever questions might be arising in our lives, perhaps unable to share our hopes or our hurts or our fears. We can also feel isolated in spite of the Holy Spirit, in spite of God with us, when we are overcome by loss. And yet these losses and times of isolation also contribute to and represent the entire spiritual journey that is our lives. Pentecost is sometimes also known as the birthday of the church. As you know, since Easter, Jesus' friends and followers have been hiding out quite a bit and trying to make sense still of the events of his death and resurrection. And in today's gospel, Jesus tells them face to face that he will be leaving and then sending them what he calls both the Advocate and the Spirit of Truth. And then in the Acts lessons, we're described this event, this foretold event, where the wind blew and tongues of fire were over every head, and different languages were spoken. And it was so crazy that others could hear them in their own tongues and understand in their native language what was being said. It was truly a chaotic miracle, such that some who were witnessing this accused the gathering of being a bunch of drunks. But Peter had a recognition of what was happening. He had a remembrance both of the words of Jesus and the words of the prophet Joel. So he stood up in this assembly and he quoted from the scriptures, "I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Even slaves, both men and women. In those days, I will pour out my spirit, and everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Today, we celebrate this supreme gift from God. In this story of the first day of Pentecost, there's a bit of chaos. And yet, over the centuries since this first day, much has been learned about the power of the Holy Spirit and interpreted about how the Spirit works in our lives. There are many teachings outlining that the Holy Spirit has specific functions in our lives. One is to convince us or convict us when we have turned away from the values of our faith. Another way of saying that is to bring us again and again back to the faith, back to that sense of being born again or made anew by God's continual redemption of us. I call this the longing that we have for God. The Holy Spirit is said to dwell in each of us and enable us to live faithful lives. And when we talk about the scriptures, we say that the Holy Spirit inspired the writing of these stories. And that is also the Holy Spirit that interprets these words to us and to the Christian community. And in another familiar passage from Scripture, from Galatians, we are promised that the gifts of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, if you were really listening as I read this list to you, you might be asking yourself, if these are the Holy Spirit's gifts and they're given to everyone, why aren't they abundant in our lives and all around us? Maybe the people I'm hanging around with or living with or working with or going to school with them, maybe they didn't get the Holy Spirit. When we think upon this list of wonderful, positive gifts, and then live our lives day to day and experience criticism or judgment or conflict or confusion. This certainly could leave us in a state of despair that God might have just missed me in passing out the Holy Spirit. Or we might wonder, does anyone really have the Spirit? Is God truly present? And yet the promise of this day is everlasting. The gift and the great responsibility of our lives is that the Spirit will constantly renew us in our relationship with the living God. And indeed, we may spend all of our lives living into the way that this gift will emerge uniquely in each one of us. With the miracle of Christ's resurrection and the miracle of Pentecost, we are given the tools to overcome and even surpass all of the sorrows that have cost our lives. Not that it's easy, mind you, but the tools are here. You have them, and I have them. We have them as a community of faith and as children of God. Let us continue to use these tools, learning day by day as we journey together. You may have heard or read recently that next week I begin a 4-month sabbatical. It feels very surprising to me that I will have been here 10 years at the end of December, and so I'm scheduled for this second sabbatical. In 2004, I left for these 4 months, and I planned at that time many structured learning events along with the completion of my doctoral thesis. However, during this sabbatical, I'm planning on fewer structured learning events and attending more to learning and renewal through an intentional time of opening up to the Holy Spirit in my own life. One of many, many ways to enter into the miracle of God with us is to create and rely upon a rule of life. So I'd like to share with you a rule I intend to follow during our time apart. In regards to Scripture, taking small chunks of the Bible and with determination see how they might affect and change my life. In regards to prayer, continuing to incorporate prayer into all activities and thus seek the face of God in others, in myself, in all of creation, and open my heart to hold others before the God of life. In regards to communities of faith, St. Paul's has now become my home in ways that continue to surprise me day in and day out. I learn from you. I find that I love you, and I cannot imagine my life apart from this particular faith community. And so, in my own rule of life, my connection to you is primary. I share your hopes and the needs that we all have, at least as much as I can understand them. And I carry you in my heart and in my prayers and even in my own understanding of who I am. In regards to study and play, though I will not be taking classes, I do plan to study for a certification exam to be completed in the next year in the area of my counseling work. And I hope to play most of the time with this gift of the Holy Spirit in my life by having the time and the energy to work with my hands and use my God-given talents and imagination. Also in this time away will be the joy of being with my other family, my sisters and my brother, my nieces and my nephews and their children. The word rule in this rule of life might suggest to you something rigid with punishment for failure to adhere. but this is far from the truth. In fact, a rule of life is something that we create ourselves to invite ways that we might reflect upon God in our lives, reflect upon the faith journey. Sometimes we do share a rule of life with others, as I am doing with you this morning. And sometimes it is simply a private way that we might mark our spiritual journey in its current manifestation. In other words, it can be a way to check in with yourself and see how you are doing. It is a way to create a guide and a reminder to make the journey purposeful. For me, it provides a structure whereby I might make meaning of my time apart from you, meaning that I know will be marked by many learnings during the next 4 months. Two times in today's scripture readings, there were places of despair. The dry bones portrayed a time for the people of Israel when all was literally lost to them. And then when Jesus speaks to his friends in our gospel story, he reiterates that sorrow has filled their hearts because he is departing from them. But truly, my friends, what follows whenever there is a time of despair, what follows whenever there is loss, is another day like today, the promised day of Pentecost, God with us, with you, with me, with every child of God. And there will always be a day to celebrate in these truths, even when we are in despair. Amen.